We hear that great statement of the apostle where he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That is a profound statement. Have you thought on that one for a while? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It reveals to us that in Paul there is a passion, a consuming passion to live for Jesus. He says in verses 22 and 23, there in that passage, that to be with Christ is better by far. Yet to be here is not a punishment. On the contrary, he says he is torn. Because to go and be with Christ, yes, better by far, but to remain here is fruitful labour. And so he is convinced that he should remain for the progress and joy in the faith of those to whom he writes. I've just discovered that this thing is not responding at all. I suppose it's got to happen one time, hasn't it? But let me though ask that we stop and pray, not just for this thing, but that the Lord teach us in regard to this consuming passion. Loving Father, we do indeed give you thanks and praise that you have redeemed us through your Son. That indeed with Paul, we can declare that for us, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that our lives this side of heaven are not a punishment, are not a consolation prize, but an opportunity to live in fruitful labour. As we consider the leaving of Steve and Paula for the mission field in PNG, we ask that you would indeed teach, inform, encourage, correct, and train us by your word, that through the understanding of it, we might truly know that to live is Christ. Amen. That is not going to come back to me, I don't think. But let me say that Paul's consuming passion, as you read there in verse 20, he says, "I believe that I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." He knows that Christ is able to be glorified. All that he is about, all that Christ has come to do in his person and work, his life and ministry and death and resurrection and ascension, is indeed exalted in Paul. And what this reveals to us is that fruitful labour for Paul, the exalting of Christ, is quite clearly all about the gospel of our Lord Jesus. From the moment that Paul got hit by a bus on the Damascus Road, and of course that bus was Jesus, from the moment he got hit by a bus on the Damascus Road, confronted by his Maker, his life was transformed. He'll go on to say in Philippians 3 that everything up until that point that he had counted as being of value, he now rejects. He considers it refuse. Indeed, the accurate translation is excrement. I'll leave you to translate that one. That's what he thinks of it. Now, in this whole letter, he reveals that his consuming passion is about seeing Christ revealed, and that is what sees him as a minister of the gospel. I want you to have a look at the three things that we learn about Paul's consuming passion for the gospel in Philippians 1. It is an absolutely brilliant chapter, and so if I can ask you to open it up. I realise I haven't actually got the same translation as you guys there. I'm going from the NIV, but be that as it may. The first thing that we see is actually revealed in verse 5. And indeed, it dominates what Paul says from verse 3 right through to the end of verse 11. And that is that Paul emphasises the partnership in the gospel that he shares with the Philippians and indeed with all those who indeed share the confession of Christ Jesus. Have a listen to this. Paul says, "I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul has had a partnership with the Philippian Christians in the gospel. And indeed, anybody who enters in to fellowship in Christ is going to have a partnership in that gospel. As the Lord sends out people into his harvest field, Steve and Paula enter into a partnership in the gospel with the ministry of Wycliffe, Bible translators, with indeed those in Ukarumpa that are involved in this service, with all those that they assist through aviation to take translators and other servants to all these different tribes. They are involved in a vital partnership in the gospel. Indeed, this ministry of aviation makes that partnership possible at the most practical level. This partnership of the gospel is, of course, ultimately one that we share with the Lord. We stand in an apostolic tradition, and we are indeed partners with God. But I want to just allow you to see, as you look at the text there, the way in which Paul unites all of us, because today I want to say that you are here because you are partners in the gospel with Stephen Paul, and indeed through them to so many that are indeed going to be reached with the word of God in PNG. Have a listen as you look from verse 3. Paul could say this much more simply, but he wants to emphasise that all of you are involved in this. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray." He could have just said, "I always pray for you," but he doesn't. "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." That's what we are confident the Lord will indeed do with Stephen Paul. As we're working through, we didn't know exactly how it would come out, you know, where you would end up. Would the support come together? But our confidence is not in you guys. It's not in us. It's in the Lord, who will bring all things to completion. That is where Paul's confidence lies. Paul goes on and he says, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." We are in this together. These guys are going to PNG. You're staying here for the moment. But you are partners in the gospel with Stephen, Paula, and those who indeed they enter into partnership with over there in PNG. Have a look at the prayer that he has in this partnership from verse 9. "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ." To actually be abounding in love more and more, but a love that is not fuzzy, is not gooey, is not soppy, is not flossy. It is a love in knowledge and depth of insight. That is what we gain from this. That is what they seek to bring to those tribes in PNG. More than fairy flossy love. Love that is founded on a sure knowledge of who we are in Christ by God's great grace. Now, that's the first one, a partnership in the gospel. The second one we see from verse 12 through to verse 18, if you're looking at it there. Paul turns his attention and says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." And so indeed we see that not only are we in a partnership, are we partners in the gospel, but we are also about the progress of the gospel, for that is what Paul was about. His consuming passion meant that all that concerned him was the progress of the gospel. Have a look at what I mean by that. He says, "What's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Verse 13, "As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." He then indeed goes on from verse 15 and speaks of the fact that, yes, there are some in the area here that are actually speaking the gospel out of rivalry, or indeed even to potentially do me harm. There are others, though, of course, that do it out of goodwill and in a bond of fellowship. Paul says, "I don't care. Here's my passion, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus is proclaimed, and that is what's happening. And I know that if the gospel is proclaimed, because the gospel is powerful and effective, lives will be changed. The gospel will progress. It will go forward. And that progress is literally going forward into the lives of people." That indeed, that progress is about what we are seeing here. I'm daunted, as I imagine Robert and Margaret are, every time they consider the magnitude of that vision. To see all language translation, genuine work of translation begun in how many other languages? 2,286, give or take the few that aren't in the ethnologue, of which we just saw a video on one. And the reality is that that's by 2025. Now, that's astounding, but golly gee, that is something I want to pray for. That is the progress of the gospel. Let's have a look at the third one, third and final. Skipping over Paul's great statement of that we see there in verse 20 and 21. "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," and him resolving that he will stay there amongst them. We then, from verse 27, see that not only is Paul's consuming passion about being involved in a partnership in the gospel, about the progress of the gospel, it is also about persecution for the gospel. Paul says that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. You will suffer. I reckon this puts the nature of that suffering very, very well. Have a look at it with me from verse 27. "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel." It's a fantastic thing. It reminds us that even though we've had a lot of farewells here at St. Tom's. Those of you who are visiting today, there wasn't a dry eye in the house this morning. We had a farewell. Now we have another. It's been a hard week. But we know that even across the miles, even in a place called Ukarumpa in the middle of the PNG Highlands, that indeed we stand together as one man, one person in the faith of the gospel. That's what Paul knows, even across the distance as he sits in chains away, kept away from the church at Philippi. But he goes on and says, "I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without," verse 28, "being frightened in any way by those who oppose you." You will have opponents. And I know you know that. Just as indeed you will have opponents. There will be things that contest this partnership and progress of the gospel. But what Paul wants us to see straight away, is that when you have a consuming passion for Christ, when you are so focused on Him, when you say, I will not be diverted, I will not be diverted from continuing to do what we're called to do. I heard Paula before. Did you hear her say, look, I'm conscious that, yes, there are safety issues. I mean, you worry when your partner drives to work through Sydney traffic. I mean, golly gee, trying to put down a plane in some of these monsoonal storms that will head through PNG, I think it's a scary matter. But in all of those things, Paula says, no, I will trust the Lord. This is where we need to be. I ask that you remain in this partnership of the gospel with Steve and Paula, no matter what happens, no matter what may divert you, no matter what may seek to divert your finances or your energies in regard to prayer. Remain firm. Things will come to challenge it. But when we are not frightened because our focus is on Christ, our consuming passion, then it is a sign to our opponents that they will be destroyed, but that indeed you will be saved, and that by God. The opponents that they would have suffered in Philippi may have been way different to us, but nonetheless, you will be opposed for the gospel. Know that it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles that indeed Paul had. That is the great encouraging word that we see from Philippians 1 and Paul's consuming passion for the gospel. As we are about to do a whole lot of formal and maybe not so formal things in commissioning you guys, we want to pledge to you our support as partners in the gospel with you, as we stand in that apostolic tradition, as we see the gospel progress, and indeed that we might see it continue to progress in PNG, in spite of whatever opposition or persecution may indeed come the way of any of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do indeed thank you that your consuming passion was to not consider equality with your Father something to be held on to at all costs, but indeed counting yourself as nothing. You were willing to come in human form, which indeed we are celebrating formally in these next couple of days, but we indeed, Lord, embrace every day that you were willing to humble yourself and, being found in human form, to be willing to humble yourself to death on a cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray that each one of us here might share a passion for the gospel through which you have transformed us, so that indeed others might know, whether they are tribes in the highlands of PNG or whether they are indeed the neighbours and friends and workmates or family members that surround us here in Cranbrook or beyond. Lord Jesus, we pray that the powerful gospel that you have given us would be on our lips and lived out in our lives, that people might be transformed and return to you. Amen.